Hey, I've only very recently found out about ChatGPT. But a little bit slow. I remember Lou actually saying something about that, and I was like, I had no idea what you're talking about. So then I went and found it out. Do anyone know what about ChatGPT? Yeah, okay, so everyone about me. Sweet. Well, not everyone. Okay, let me tell you. It's a natural language processing tool. Of course we know what that is. Driven by AI technology, okay? Artificial intelligence. That allows people to have human-like conversations and much more with a chatbot. Okay? Put stuff in and outcome stuff. It can answer questions and assist with tasks such as composing emails and essays or code. And I openly admit, it has crossed my mind. Could it create a sermon? Did you know that ChatGPT has recently, very recently, been successful in creating a program for a robotic arm to harvest tomatoes? So the big question is, will robots take over the world? Anyone got an opinion on this? Who thinks robots might be taking over the world? No one? Okay. Well,
I saw a documentary called Terminator.
It's going to happen. Hasta la vista. Right. So, now people have been afraid for years about robots taking over. Starting with taking our jobs. All right? Now, I'm with you guys, not with Mouse. I've never bought into this robots taking over thing. I always thought it was really silly. But I'm now in Mouse's camp. Yeah. I've changed my mind. I think robots might be taking over the world, starting with our jobs. In some places, if you go to look online for a job, please note, I'm not looking for a job. I have the best job. But going online to look for a job, the very first question, are you a robot? The first question, before even searching for anything to do with a job, are you a robot? See, it is happening. Robots are taking over. They are here, looking for the same jobs as you and I. Not that I am. So then we're given the option, aren't we, of clicking on, no, I'm not a robot. Anyone clicked on that button before? Yeah, there we go. See, it's happening. And then what are we supposed to think if our job searches come up with, sorry, there are no jobs for you? See, robots taking our jobs, taking over the world. Anyway, I didn't utilize ChatGPT this morning for a sermon. And nor did I create a sermon in the old school style. We are all being invited this morning to contribute into sermon creating together. So if you have seen the front of the newsletter, you will know that I was going to start a new series today. But we're going to reschedule that into later in the year. But we are sticking with the topic, roughly. Okay. So Tim, if you could chuck that cartoon up. And you know how it's really important that we can laugh at ourselves? I'm always telling our kids, make sure you can laugh at yourself. I'm hoping in this cartoon we can laugh at ourselves. Do you want me to read it out?
Yeah.
Okay. Just get some robot eyes, Mouse. Why did God have to send himself down to earth to become his own son, to sacrifice himself to himself, just to convince himself to forgive us? That's a great question. It's a great question. Yeah. Very good question, I think. And no one's laughing. I actually thought that was really funny. Hence, I preface that with an encouragement to be able to laugh at ourselves. Okay, so what we're going to do is we are going to... I've got five... They didn't print on different bits of paper, but similar. Five different bits of paper with some Bible passages and a little bit of stuff to read and a couple of questions. So what we're going to do is break into some groups and... throw those around. Read that out. Make sure everyone's got a chance to contribute into that. And then just for a few minutes, and then we're going to just hear something back from each group. And yeah, that'll be our unrobotic-like messagey stuff this morning. So let's do that. So break into five groups, or actually as many groups as you want, because we can double up on the questions. So let's get into that. Okay, who would like to kick us off? Just one or two things. Could be anyone. About that your group talked about around Jesus' death.
All right, we've got three passages here, and our question is, who has Christ died for? And each of these passages, although they're sort of all one sentence out of context, the emphasis in them all is really clearly that Christ has died for all. So we thought that came through pretty clearly in those.
Cool. Yep. Thanks. So Christ died for all. Yeah, nice. The great biblical message, central to the faith.
Our question was, what and who was important to Jesus? Can you hear me?
Yes, that's great. Okay.
And we decided it was those who were coming to the temple with their sacrifices that had to be absolutely perfect. What does this tell us about why Jesus died on the cross?
That he was the ultimate sacrifice, the only perfect sacrifice there could be, was Jesus dying on the cross for us.
Okay. That's very briefly what we're talking about.
Okay, thank you. Our verse was John's statement when at Jesus' baptism, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And our question, how might the idea of a lamb as peace impact our view of Jesus dying on the cross? And then we talked about there were various sacrifices, not just lambs, that the Jews then continued with. But the lamb as one of peace was slightly more difficult because we didn't necessarily think of a lamb as a peace. We thought maybe a dove is more what the symbol of peace. But then we go back to God's original sacrifice when Adam first sinned, was sacrificing the first animal, but most commentators think probably a lamb or sheep. So that was a symbol of God being peaceful despite our sinfulness, and that Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. So John's statement, "Here is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," is an amazing statement, although the Jews probably didn't realize it at the time, those who were there, because it means that Christ eliminates the need for the Jewish sacrifices that had gone on for 4,000 years. So it was a mighty statement, we thought.
Thanks.
Okay, our group was looking at Bible stories where Jesus focuses on loving actions that fit with God's kingdom or unloving actions that don't. And we could think of lots of incidences and stories in the Bible that talk about his loving actions, obviously, and from, you know, the way he interacted with all sorts of people, from prostitutes, tax collectors, lepers, you name it. So we felt that overall, you know, his messages were about forgiveness and acceptance of everybody. So, because that's the way he lived. The second question was, might Jesus have died on the cross to show us the ultimate action of love, and in doing so, how ultimately love wins over sin? And the simple answer is yes. So, yeah. I think that was...
Yeah, thanks. I realised, oh, yeah, I made that a very closed question, didn't I? Yes, that's a... Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's good. Thanks, Alison. Team?
We had a couple of verses, 2 Corinthians 5:14, which is about the love of Christ overwhelms us whenever we reflect on this. Whatever they'd been reflecting on. On this. Yes, this is what they reflect on. That if one person has died for all, then all have died. So, which is a confusing sort of statement in its without reading the context, I think. But the question, who and what are impacted by Jesus' death, sort of indicates it's for all of us, was the short and curlies of that. And in Colossians 1:19-20, God wanted all perfection to be found in Christ and all things to be reconciled to God through Christ, everything in heaven and everything on earth, when Christ made peace by dying on the cross. And Quinn had some good comments there. Come on.
No pressure there, Quinn.
Just what I discussed was, you know, so Jesus died on the cross, and then buried, and after 3 days later, he rose again. So after he rose again, so before that, we are the sinner. So our sin and our, you know, the all the bad things buried with the Jesus Christ, same time. When Jesus Christ rose again, all the power and the good things just come back to us. Everything's goodness, so plus eternal life. So that, yeah, that's the main one. Just a discussion, but so.
Thanks, Kun. That's great. Yeah, sweet. Oh, well, thanks everyone. Good to, you know, do a bit of thinking and talking and stuff together. And I'm sure there's, you know, that's the sort of things that we could think on a lot more. And we will in time to come, and not in this same format, but in different ways. But yeah, I guess a couple of things I'd just like to pull out from this would be that, you know, that Jesus died on the cross because he offended those in power. That came out from one of these, particularly from one of these passages. Jesus died on the cross because he challenged the status quo. Jesus died on the cross because love would not sit silently as those who had little were being stepped on, used and abused by those who had so very much of it. Jesus died on the cross to show us what love looks like in action. But yeah, and there's so much to the topic, and it's there's no one image that can capture everything about this for us, and that's why the Bible uses so many different metaphors and images around Jesus' death. And so that's some of the stuff that we're going to look at in time to come. But yeah, I'm going to hand back to Mouse, and so thanks everyone.